tonight's our prayer meeting, so let's sing number 396, Sweet Hour of Prayer.
Or Hour and a Half of Prayer.
Come. just as we are.
Isn't that a wonderful thing that we don't have to pretend to be anything we're not, don't have to make any impression at all, but Jesus calls us to come just as we are. He knows us intimately, he knows us better than we know ourselves, and he loves us, and he invites us, come. I'll change you. I'll make it what you ought to be. But you have to come. I won't force myself on you, but if you come, I'll receive you. And he even puts a desire in our hearts to draw near to him. That's the amazing thing. He really does his part, doesn't he? And he just looks for a little response on our end. Say, yes, Lord, here I am. I present myself to you. And as I spend time in your presence, I'm trusting you to work in my life. You know, God's after our time. I think when we get to heaven, we're going to be surprised that it was that simple. He's going to say, all I needed was you to give me more time. More time each day to work in your life, just to sit in my presence and give me a chance to do what only I can do. But you were so busy working for me, so busy helping others, so busy reading your Bible, and all these things are good. And of course, we spend time with God as we read the Bible with the right attitude. But you know, one thing that the devil fights is our spending time alone with God, because he knows. If we could only know as the devil knows what God accomplishes in and through our lives when we spend time with him, I think we'd really make that a priority. And I'm speaking to myself as well. Can I spend more time with God? I read a book by Brother Chow. I think it's maybe in the Boathouse, Waiting on God. And I think in the introduction to that book, he said something to the effect that he really began to apply himself to waiting on God. And he said he made a point, if I remember correctly, I read it a long time ago, but when I came home from work, the first thing I would do is sit in his presence for a half hour. And he began to make that a practice. And as he gave God time like that, after a busy day of work, maybe he fell asleep sometimes, I don't know. But he knew that God would honor that. God honors the time we give him. And God began to do some very precious things in his life. And God is using him in a wonderful way, and he's a man that really walks with God. And I think that's really the secret. Oh, there may be more to it, but basically he gives time to God. And that's something we can all do. God doesn't ask you to do something that you can't do. Every one of us can spend some time with God every day. And if we can't think of anything to pray about, that's okay. You don't have to. Just sit there. Just worship him. Just say, here I am, Jesus. Have your way in me. I'm giving you time to do it. And I know you'll honor that time. Sometimes we have to fight for that time because there's many demands and things we do have to take care of. But give him the time you can. Be consistent about it. And then God will make a way for you to spend more time with him. Sometimes the time will pass and it'll seem like a long time. And other times it'll seem like just a moment. And that half hour, that hour has passed. You know, we don't know sometimes why the Lord draws so near to us and time seems to go so quickly, and then other times it seems to drag. But it's not based on our feelings, it's based on our faith. We're looking to God, we're presenting ourselves to him, we believe that he takes notice, we're doing what the Word of God says. And if we do our little part, we can be sure that God will do his. And I've been asking the Lord, help me to give you more time. I don't want to get to heaven and see what you could have done with my life if only I gave you more time. And so it's beginning to dawn on me that it's really that simple. That, oh, I know there are other things involved, but as we give God time, God shows us what needs to be done, and He leads us, and He reveals Himself, and our part is to just give Him that opportunity. Sweet hour of prayer. And it might not be an hour, it might be 15 minutes, but as we consistently give ourselves to the Lord like that, 15 minutes turns into an hour, and sometimes an hour turns into much longer. When I was living up at Pilgrim Camp, we had Wednesday days of prayer. And I never prayed so much in my life before I came to camp. I didn't know anything about that. And Wednesday, we were supposed to pray all day from morning till late afternoon. And we had a meeting, and then we'd wait on God. We'd pray, wait on God some more. And boy, that was torture. I remember when I started. What am I supposed to do? I prayed about everything and everyone I could think of. And it's only 12 o'clock. We still got a few hours. But you know, as you were put in that position to seek the Lord, God began to do something in your soul to enable you to do that. It came easier. And the blessing of God came more quickly. And so sometimes prayer meeting is hard for people because they're not used to spending that time in silence or that time praying. But it's good for us to stretch ourselves, to do more than we're used to, give God more time than we normally do. And God will do something in you so that that won't be so hard anymore. And you'll find that, wow, you look forward to those times. And you meet Jesus and very precious ways. So, sweet hour of prayer. Let it be a sweet hour of prayer tonight, Lord. Lord, we thank you that you call us to come to you. You call us to spend time in your presence, to come to the throne of grace, to find mercy and grace to help in our time of need. It's your blood that makes us worthy to approach you. And so we do plead your precious blood over our lives and over this meeting tonight. Nothing that we've done, everything that Jesus has done, makes it possible for us to come into your presence. And Lord, you listen to our prayers. You listen to the cry of our heart, Lord. And we thank you for that. Thank you for your intimate interest and great love for us. If it concerns me, it concerns you. I know that, Lord. You said that you care for me. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll just help me to come just as I am tonight, with all my lacks, all my failures, with all my joys and victories that you have given me, Lord. Jesus, just help me to come as I am. And I know that you receive me. I pray, Lord, that you will give us prayer in the Holy Ghost tonight. We don't want to just go down a list of needs, but we want the Holy Spirit to put things upon our heart, people, needs, and then help us to pray, believing that God hears and God answers. And help us to pray with thanksgiving, Lord, with that confidence that God is on the throne and He never forgets His own. We praise you tonight, Lord, and pray that you will be glorified. We know that great things are accomplished through prayer for your kingdom and for your glory. And that's why we're here, Lord. It's all about your glory. Not necessarily what we want for ourselves or want for others, as good as that may be. But ultimately, Lord, it's for the glory of Jesus and His kingdom. And let that be our motive. Put that into our hearts, Lord. I want Jesus to be glorified. By answering this prayer, I want people to see how wonderful He is. I want Him to have the joy of His will being accomplished here in this earth as we call upon him in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Let's sing another song about prayer. The Beautiful Garden of Prayer. That's number 399. I like that one too. Maybe you haven't sung this in a while. Praise God.
There's a garden where Jesus is waiting.
I'd like to at least make that suggestion to you. I was in a church one time and the pastor said, you know, the people that come on Sunday morning, they love the church. And the people that come on Sunday night, they love the pastor. But the people that come to prayer meeting, they really love the Lord. Well, that was an interesting observation. And I know what he was trying to help us to understand. You know, there's nothing that entertains in prayer meeting. You come and you get quiet or get on your knees and just call upon Jesus. But oh, how precious he is and how he draws near to us and works his wonders in our soul. And, you know, most churches, Sunday morning's the meeting that's most full. And if you have Sunday night, then, well, you cut the Sunday morning meeting at least in half and maybe that in half and maybe that in half, and then you'll have your Sunday night group. And then your prayer meeting, oh boy, you take your Sunday night group and you shave that down a little bit, and then you got your prayer meeting. And yet we preach and believe that prayer is essential, that God does nothing but in answer to prayer, that prayer is the lifeblood of the church. You know, we have all these expressions, but we're those that really see the value and the importance of that in their assembly. Well, he said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. And we've made it a house of singing and a house of preaching and a house of fellowship and a house of everything else. But a house of prayer primarily, I think we've missed the mark somewhere along the way. Oh, I hope that's not the case here at camp, and I hope that's not the case in your church. But just generally speaking, but we need to get out to the prayer meeting. Oh, the pastor will love that when he sees people come and join with him and help to share the burdens. You know, when you get out to the prayer meeting, you're really getting under the burden of the work. You're praying for this one and praying about that need and praying for Jesus to come and send revival and manifest himself. And much of what God is able to do in the meetings flows from the prayer meeting. And so maybe that's the thing we need to strengthen more. And if we concentrate more on that, then maybe we'd see more of the manifestation of Christ in our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and Bible studies and so on. And young people, God needs young people in prayer meetings. I remember as a younger person, I guess I was a teenager, our church had prayer meeting on Saturday night. And that was always nice because it prepared us for Sunday. You know, you get out to God's house Saturday night, spend time in prayer, go home, no partying that night, and you'd look forward to what God was going to do Sunday morning because you spent so much time praying about that meeting and the preaching that morning and so on. And that was a good thing. And so anyway, I used to go as a teenager, and I didn't know how to pray well, but it was nice to be around people that did know how, and to listen to them, and to just get into the spirit of what they were doing. And that's how we learn to pray. We learn to pray by praying, not by talking about it, or reading about it only, but you got to pray, and let God develop that in you. And so I'm just putting in a little plug for the prayer meeting, okay? I feel an obligation to do that as a pastor. 399, we're going to sing that last verse yet. Okay, here we go.
There's a garden where Jesus is waiting. Savior, we praise your name, we worship you.